Hello, welcome to episode 4 of Owl and Fowl's Norwich City Football Club We Meet Again series. This is the podcast where we look back at the history between Norwich City and our next opponent. We look at all the big games, historic matches, significant moments, player connections, any quirks, trends, facts. Fowl, how are you? Are you managing to keep your morale up?
I'm good. Yes, I think I am actually. Well, yes and no. Obviously, it's been a tough start. But the fact I predicted 5-0 for the Man City game has put me so far in the lead with the score prediction game. I'm over the moon with it. I think it's been a great
start. It's like the real Premier League, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You've just blown me out of the water. There's almost no point me carrying on with these predictions now.
Yeah. But yeah, I think so. It's been a tough start, hasn't it? I think there's a few problems. I mean, obviously, the biggest problem is we played 3 of the top 5 from last year.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about the level of spending that Man City have available to them is so far beyond ours. So, yeah, I am still optimistic. I think we've got some more winnable games coming up. And obviously a few more pieces of the jigsaw to slot in.
Some news hot off the press, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently Matthias Norman from Rostock, a defensive central midfielder, has signed a season-long loan. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's good. And I think that's probably what we're missing. I think the general consensus, I've only seen one game so far this year, so I've been away this week, and missed the Leicester game. But the general consensus is we've got a fairly sizable Ollie Skip-shaped hole in that midfield. So
certainly the reports I hear over and over again. Now, I think it's quite strange in some ways. I think most Norwich fans probably would have predicted 3 defeats out of those opening 3 games.
Yeah.
But almost the fact that it's happened doesn't make it any easier to accept. I guess that's the hope in football, isn't it? We're kind of where everyone thought we were going to be. We've got those games out of the way now. We've got an international break. We move on. I've got nothing to back this hunch up, but I'm sure we tend to do quite well after international breaks.
I saw a statistic today that the seasons we've stayed up, we haven't won a game before the international break.
Right, okay.
Whereas the seasons we went down, we all won a game before the international break. So
there you go.
Make of that what
you want. I like that. Something to cling on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so next up. So we talked about Liverpool. They obviously have all the trophies. We talked about Manchester City. They've got all the cash and also catching up on the trophies. Manchester United certainly have the fame. But I think for me, the next opponents, they have the glamour and a bit of class and sophistication to them. I've called them football and royalty.
Okay.
It's Arsenal.
Fellow relegation
yes.
occupants at the moment.
Yes. Put the last few seasons aside. And yeah, they're going through a tough transitional period at the moment. But they are a club that they certainly create that certain image, don't they? When you think back at various clubs in the English league, Arsenal stand out, don't they, in terms of their, you know, the, obviously what they've won in the past, but also what their name represents within football.
I mean, there was that period where if you were on FIFA or Pro Evolution Soccer, I would always go for Arsenal because of the players they had, like obviously Henry and Bergkamp and Overmars and Petit and
Vieira.
And, you know, and at the back, you've got some fantastic defence. Obviously, you've got Seaman and you've got Adams and you've got Dixon. Some
the perfect blend, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously kind of that post-Graham era where shut up shop for a 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Yeah, and then they moved, obviously, on sort of into the Bergkamp, Bruce Rioch era.
Yeah, he managed Norwich, didn't he?
Bruce Rioch,
yeah, he did. That's a connection I've missed.
Yeah, so Bruce Rioch was manager then. I'm sure he brought in Bergkamp.
He did, yeah.
And then, obviously, that moved and transitioned into the Arsene Wenger Invincibles era.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Ashley Cole, Sol Campbell. I mean, like, it's just what a team they've had.
And also, I think their image and what they represent, it's largely been based around Highbury Stadium as well. It's such an iconic stadium, isn't it? With the marble halls and entranced in history, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is it. And they didn't just go through a period of battling Man United for titles, but they did it in style and class, didn't they? What a side.
That's it. That's what you think when you think Arsenal, don't you? I've got a stat here which you need to get your head around. So they've never been relegated. So, you know, I don't know how, probably over a century of seasons in the top flight.
Yeah. But wasn't there a period where they did get relegated but were voted back into the league?
I think you're correct, yeah.
It was around wartime-ish? Maybe?
I think it was around the First World War. And I think, ironically, it was Tottenham that lost out.
Mm.
And there was some controversy. I think it might have been the season before football finished for the war. And
yeah.
They had finished in the relegation zone. But when football restarted sort of 4 or 5 years later, somehow they'd managed to rewrite the history books and somehow Tottenham went down and they stayed up.
Is it similar to how we tried to get the league null and void last season, you know, when the pandemic hit? Cancel it, you know, start again next season, we'll stay in the Premier League.
Do you remember that when the season got suspended, there was a few Norwich fans thinking, hang on, this could be an opportunity to keep our status through the back door.
Yeah, and I, to be honest with you, I was one of those sort of fans that at the time, I thought null and voiding the season was obviously it's a hugely drastic step, but I did also get the sporting integrity argument that we'd obviously played teams like Brighton away, Burnley away,
West Ham away,
and we weren't going to get the opportunity to play them at home in front of our fans. I thought that was negating the sporting integrity.
Yeah.
However, when we actually came back after lockdown, we were so far behind. I thought we can argue that, really.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't the case that the games we lost by, you know, a goal or two and, like, our fans would have dragged us over the line. It was a case that, you know, West Ham particularly, Southampton, you know, we were so far second best. It was like, well, we can't argue with that. So I kind of...
We would have been embarrassed to stay in the Premier League after that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Through the back door.
I mean, I'm taking it, but we would have been embarrassed, yeah.
So, yeah, Arsenal, you're spot on, actually. Yeah, they technically should have been relegated, but they have not got that on their CV, which is an incredible achievement in itself, isn't it? How, I mean, all the other clubs, your Liverpools, Man City's, Man United's, Chelsea's, Tottenham, they've all been up and down in their history. It's just amazing that they just haven't had a... We talk about transitional seasons, and football works on cycles, doesn't it? And every club has their bad periods, but... They obviously had enough just to keep going. I suppose it's a bad period for Arsenal. It's probably mid-table, isn't it?
So this is it. And I suppose at the moment they're suffering their worst ever period, I guess, is what that stat would show us, you know. Struggled last season. They weren't great the season we were last in the Premier League, as I'm sure we'll come on to. And obviously the start this season has been, you know, auspicious. So we'll see what happens.
But at the same time, they were never in any relegation trouble in those last season and the season before.
No, and I don't think they will be this season either.
No.
I think by whatever happens, I think they will improve. I'm just hoping it won't be in time for the next game.
Yeah, we don't really want Arteta to get the chop before the Norwich game, do we? Because you know how that can impact a side.
Yeah, exactly. But there's always the long come Norwich syndrome, isn't there? We rock up and all of a sudden it turns the season around. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, they've had a tough start. Brentford away first game of the season. Bearing in mind it's the first game back really in front of fans. It's Brentford's first game in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yes. I think their first top flight game for over 50 years.
Yeah. So that's a hell of an occasion for Brentford. I'm not saying that it's a team Arsenal would accept losing to. Rightfully, they'll be furious about it. That's not an easy game. That's a tough old start. Obviously, Man City's always a tough game.
Yeah, of course.
So they've had a tough start.
And Chelsea was the other game, wasn't it?
This is it. And Chelsea's a team who look like... I mean, Lukaku, I think, is a great signing for Chelsea. It seems like Chelsea have signed Lukaku a lot of times.
Yeah.
It seems like they keep having him and then for some reason getting him rid of him. And then signing him back again and get, you know, it seems to be cyclic with Chelsea and Lukaku. So that's a tough game, and I think Chelsea are going to be up there. So
yeah, you're right. They've had a difficult start to the season, and you know, it's far too early to talk about Arsenal as a relegation candidate, isn't it?
And I know they lost 5-0 to Man City, but there was a red card in that as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. First half as well. So you know, and we talked about obviously the class and the skill and the athleticism that Arsenal had in under Arsene Wenger and also under George Graham. But their success goes back way before that. So Herbert Chapman, they won five titles in the 1930s, the first club to break that Northern domination that we've talked about. So they were the first Southern club to win the English title and then to win it again and again and again. So they have got that proper history behind them. But I wanted to talk about the Invincibles and Arsene Wenger, really, and how I remember when he came in and it was like, who's he? You know, his name sounds almost the same as Arsenal. Is that why they brought him in? But he changed football forever. So he was the first manager that started to look at diets and making footballers into athletes rather than your average man down the pub.
Yeah, this is it. And my memories from Arsene Wenger's transformation of Arsenal was exactly that. All of a sudden, they all became footballers. They all became athletes. He was the first person to really start looking at the science of it.
Yeah.
And sort of like micronutrients and that side of the game. He made sure, because obviously it's taken over in Arsenal with like players like Tony Adams and Paul Merson in it, who obviously were fantastic footballers, but obviously used to the kind of the party lifestyle, which came along with football. And I remember, like, I think it might have been the first season they won a title, and I think the title-clinching goal was scored by Tony Adams.
It was, yeah.
And that was, like, I remember it being one of those moments where Tony Adams had gone from a big, lumbering centre-half, brilliant player, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking it away from Tony, apart from the Cruyff turn against San Marino, but we'll go into that. But, like, he was a great centre-half, but Arsene Wenger turned him into a proper footballer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that goal summed it up, and that was the influence he had. And all of a sudden, you know, teams were looking at centre-backs and full-backs as more than just defenders. Yeah. And the athletes, you know, you're looking at, which I think we talked about it before, but, you know, it used to go back 25, 30 years ago, and a centre-half is over 6'4", whatever, the centre-forward, they're big, lumbering
style. Yeah.
But now that's not the case now. Like a centre-half or a centre-forward, these big guys, they're all athletes, they're all nimble, they're so fast, they're genuine athletes now. And I think Arsene Wenger's had a big influence on
that. Exactly, yeah. And I think every club had to adapt. Every club had to change because no one could keep up with Arsenal at that point. So it forced this whole change that filtered throughout the English game in a way. And the old days of the 80s where players like Arsenal used to have the Tuesday club where they'd all go out after training and get absolutely hammered. Those days are gone, players, professional athletes. And you can tell, you look at some of the players now and they're just ripped, aren't they? And
like Matthias Norman is the guy who's signing for us. I looked at his Instagram. He is in shape. He looks like a tank. So that's good to see. But that's the thing. I think we've seen it filter in all sports, haven't we? Like, you know, look at rugby. Like, you know, the forwards are not just the fat one anymore. They're actually quite big lads.
Yeah.
And like, you know, athletic lads.
I mean, the fitness levels have gone through the roof with footballers now, haven't they?
Absolutely.
Compared to what they were.
And like I say, I think Arsene Wenger's got a lot to answer for that, which is great. I think it's the way it should be. I think when you paid the money these footballers are paid, I think the minimum they can do is look after themselves. And as a rule of thumb, they do that now,
So talking about the Invincibles, that was 2003, 2004. They weren't the only club, or they weren't the first club to achieve a season unbeaten. Preston did it back in 1888,
89. All right, yeah.
But Preston only had 22 games that season. Arsenal had 38. They drew 12. So, yeah, they were invincible on the basis they weren't beaten. But, you know, I was thinking back to, we've talked about Liverpool and Man City recently. And, okay, they probably lost one or two games, but their records probably, they probably didn't draw 12. So, you know, I could see that being beaten.
Yeah, but I agree with you. More impressive seasons. I mean, I think
they got more points than the Invincibles, didn't they?
And I think that's a big deal. The thing is with the Invincibles, as I think they had the title sewn up relatively early. I remember it becoming more a thing about being invincible than actually the title.
Yeah.
And I remember quite a few games towards the end of the season, it was kind of like just making sure they get beaten. It wasn't. Yeah. I think I played Ipswich towards the end of that season, and Freddie Ljungberg scored. I think I won 2-0 or 2-1, something like that. But I remember watching and thinking, it was almost like, don't get beaten first. I didn't think their feat was as impressive as the title Invincibles makes it sound.
They must have ridden their luck that season, I'm sure. Yeah. There are games that they, you know, they didn't play well, but scraped a draw or.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
But yeah, can't take anything away from them. So we were pretty invincible ourselves that year. It's the year we won the championship. I don't know how many we lost actually that season, yeah. But we certainly weren't close to an unbeaten season. So the following season, 04-05, when they came to Carrow Road, and I think it was quite early in September, they were still unbeaten.
Yeah.
And I remember that added a bit of extra excitement to the game, thinking, could we be the club that finally beats this record? We were 3-0 down at half time, so
yeah.
that kind of answers it. I don't know if you remember the game, but there was a big talking point.
Yeah.
When it was 0-0, Huckabee broke through, and I think there was a challenge or something that could quite easily have been a red card.
I do remember it. I wasn't at the game. That's back in my sporting days. But yeah, I do remember it. It was one of those ones.
It was an evening kickoff, actually. I think it was the half five.
I've got a feeling I probably watched it on TV. And yeah. It was one of those challenges where it was like last man back.
Yeah.
But that's never strictly been the rule, has it? It's always been a direct goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of like interpreted as last man back.
But I think it happened quite near the halfway line. It wasn't like it was
this is
just
it.
Outside the box, was it?
But it would have been unlikely for anyone to have caught Huckabee from that moment on. So I think it probably should have been a red card.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that would be taking into account how fast Huckabee was back then and what was going on. I think a red card would have been the right decision. It's one of those ones I can see where the referee didn't give it. It wasn't a clear cut 5 yards outside the penalty area, kind of like definitely going.
Yeah.
It was a tough one. You have to take into account Huckabee, and I don't think it probably is in the spirit of the rules.
No, and I think we, you know, because of the quality of the opposition we were facing, we were clutching at anything, weren't we? So whether that would have changed the game, probably not, but you never know, do you?
Well, I mean, 0-0 down to 10 men, it would have been an uphill battle for them.
Yeah.
But it was frustrating, actually, because I remember that Premier League season, we probably weren't as strong as we were the previous season, weirdly enough.
We had Bentley in, who was, you know, obviously an Arsenal connection there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good player, though.
He was touted as the next Beckham, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I can see why. He was a classy footballer. Wasn't blessed with pace, but he was a really classy ball player. Unfortunately, yeah, football brought a bear for him, didn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, he was a classic Norwich loan signing. I mean, we're still doing it to this day, wasn't it? Sort of a youngster of a lot of potential for one of the big clubs.
See how it gets on.
Yeah, we were kind of his first opportunity to get first team football at that level. Well, the Arsenal actually won 4-1 at Carrow Road that day. So, yeah, they kept the run going. The away game that season, 2nd April 2005. So I'm going to give my first shout of the series out here, Phil.
Okay.
To a good friend of mine, Mr. Craig Holt. He'll always be popular around this area, won't
you?
With a surname like that.
Absolutely. Hi, Craig. How are we doing?
Yeah. Craig Cranberry, as he's also known. And he treated me to a trip to Highbury. So that season, it was the full package. So we met up. He'd picked out a suitable pre-game pub. He'd got a couple of corporate tickets. I think we were sitting in the posh seats in the main stand. I think we were sort of hobnobbing with half of the EastEnders cast.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Proper corporate,
yeah. What I remember about the game, it was another 4-1 to Arsenal. And we talked about this with Van Dijk, how Henri just, he didn't look like he sprinted, but he was the quickest player on the pitch. He just looked like he slided across the turf and almost put no effort into beating defenders.
Yeah, he's one of the best players the Premier League have ever seen, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's no doubt. And he scored a hat-trick that day, and it's a, you know, privilege to see him play.
Probably wasn't the best goal of the day, though, was it?
I wasn't sure if you'd remembered our goal or not, but you do you?
Yeah, that was Darren Huckabee special, wasn't it?
It was,
It was from a corner, though, wasn't
it?
And I can't remember if it was from a short corner where the ball kind of played back out to him. But yeah, kind of tight to the byline and sort of cutting in and bent it in the opposite top corner.
He did, yeah. Yeah, and that made it 2-1, actually. Mm. Although, I do remember the time, even though that made it 2-1, just thinking, it's the consolation.
Yeah, You know what? Because I wasn't at the game, I would have been probably again playing hockey in my sporting days.
The good old days?
Yeah, the glory days. Yeah. I do remember thinking the same thing at the time. It felt consolation-y. At that kind of period of the season, it felt like we were going down, didn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't until the last few games of the season where we actually put a bit of a run together that we felt like we might get out of it.
Arsenal were basically what Man City are now. So we went into those games against Arsenal with zero hope, I would say, certainly away. And it was almost a case of, just damage limitation and let's just get out of here and move on.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
It was a fantastic occasion and a privilege to go to Highbury actually and to watch that team in the flesh. But a very, very inevitable conclusion. So I was just going to get your thoughts on, they've really fallen, haven't they, lately? We talked about the last couple of seasons and where you see them at the moment. Are they a classic club in transition or is it consecutive seasons of bad signings and certainly a disconnection with the supporters and whether that's been because of the move to the Emirates?
Yeah, I think all of the above, actually. I mean, it's hard to put a finger on a specific problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like they're very much a team in transition. I absolutely think that's fair to say. I think very much the club have kind of invested in Arteta's ethos, if you like, about building up. It's going to take time. Get a few youth players in, get younger lads going. I think the club have bought into that. I'm not sure the fans have totally. And I must admit, it doesn't seem to be going in the right direction.
No.
And so I don't quite know. So part of me thinks they're not really spending much money, and that might be linked to the move to the Emirates, but the fact they haven't quite got the finances. For example, Emi Bundir, who's a player I think they could have, really done with, and they ended up being out-trumped by Villa for, a lot of money, 35, 37 million, whatever it was. But I mean, that's a decent amount of money. But that's not crazy money in this day and age, is it?
No, not for a club of that stature.
This is it, especially when they're... But, so you think to yourself, well, maybe they're short of money, but then you remember they spent like 70-odd million on Pepe.
Yeah.
And there's this sort of drops, was it 25 or 30 million pounds on Ramsdale? Was like number two goalkeeper.
Well, they spent 50 on... Ben White.
And Ben White, exactly, yeah. So you think, well, so maybe they have got money. I don't quite know.
I mean, you've seen them more recently than me. You would have seen them in the 2-2 two seasons ago, I guess.
Yeah.
When they were, they were probably in a better place then than they are now.
Yeah, agreed.
But what did you think of them that day?
Yeah, I thought we had a better team.
That says it all then, doesn't it?
Yeah, I felt that as one of those games we should have been disappointed not to have won. I'm doing this from memory, but I think we took the lead twice and they came back twice. They had a dodgy penalty. Christoph Zimmermann gave away a VAR penalty, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, but even worse, there was the retake. Do you remember?
Oh, that's right.
It's Aaron's claimed, they said he was encroaching and it was an awful decision because his feet were actually outside the box. He was sort of leaning, as you do, to make that move. And yet another horrendous VAR decision that went against us.
Well, I've never been keen on the idea of VAR, but that was one of those points in the season where I was like, it's just ridiculous. Because the problem is being in the stadium. It was even worse because you haven't got a clue what's going on. The only thing you know that when something's happened, i.e. the penalty being saved, there's a long sort of like break afterwards. Yeah. And you think to yourself, well, this isn't good. Something's happened here. And whatever's just happened is probably going to get reversed. Referee sort of like arms out, shooing players away. Then the finger goes in the ear. Well, this is going to get overturned. And that VAR one, that was a double header. I can't remember it. I think it was a handball from Zimmermann. I think it's harsh.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got, the penalty save.
I can't imagine what the reaction was like in Carrow Road.
Yeah, not happy bunnies. And obviously they equalised again. I think it was Aubameyang. He scored from a corner. It was a good finish. But again, we dominated, should have won. In that period of time where we played pretty well.
Yeah.
But should have actually won a couple more.
Didn't we have a couple of really good chances? Was it McLean had a...
Yeah,
shot or Campbell that keeper tipped around the post.
Yeah,
maybe should have gone in and
exactly that. Yeah, we had a couple of chances. I think McLean was through actually, and what I say, well saved by the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
Yeah, so exactly that. We played pretty well, but ultimately came at one point where, in all truthfulness, we should have had three. They weren't a spectacularly good Arsenal side, and it was one of those games where we dominate at home. You really got to take 3 points.
Did they look like a mid-table side?
Mid-table, yeah.
Had they?
Yeah, mid-table side.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear that assessment of them. I'm not going to go into any depth on this, but they did beat us on the return. But again, that was one of these post-lockdown games, wasn't it? Was it 4-0?
Yeah, I think so. I watched it, and to be honest, we didn't really lay a glove on them.
Anyway, moving on. So we seem to have one of these in every episode, but we're going to have another FA Cup shock in our favour. Check this one out and where this sort of falls in the all-time list of cup shocks. So 1953-54, our first trip to Highbury.
Yes.
They were current English champions.
Okay.
We were mid-table Division 3 South.
Yeah.
And a Tommy Johnson double, we came away with a 2-1 win.
Okay.
So that's got to be up there, isn't it?
Well, that is, yeah, definitely. That's a big gap, isn't it, back in that day and age?
Yeah. All these shocks we seem to be pulling off.
Yeah, not in recent times.
No, they're always part of the dipping back into history parts of these episodes, aren't they?
Well, and I think that's a consequence of the loss of importance of the FA Cup, unfortunately. But,
yeah.
But yeah, this is it. And it would have been, like we said before, back in the time where they would be putting out their first team.
Which were champions.
Exactly.
As well. Yeah.
So that's a hell of an achievement.
Yeah. And this one's pretty impressive. This is the League Cup. So fifth round of the 1972 competition. Arsenal had done the double, actually, the season before. So they'd done the league and FA Cup double.
Yeah.
So obviously a side full of pedigree. And we went down and beat them 3-0. Hall of Famer Graham Paddon scored a hat-trick. Yeah, that's one of those results that normally with a shock, you expect it to be a 1-0, don't you? Or 2-1 or...
Yeah, but a 3-0 is a proper trouncing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and again, I'm sure they would have played a strong side.
Yeah, definitely back then.
It wouldn't have been surprising if I'd said it was like last season.
Yeah.
We beat them 3-0 because it would have been against their kids, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I mean, the further you go back in, the whole thing about, using the FA Cup or League Cup as a bit of an experimental fixture. I mean, the FA Cup more recently, but League Cup still probably early, mid-2000s teams are still be putting out strong sides for that.
Yeah.
It was only really the last sort of 15 years, I suppose, where teams have actually sort of started using it as almost a friendly competition.
I wonder where they blooded the youngsters back in those days. And I guess the reserves was just a stronger league.
I mean, they probably
played them more in the first team, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, as well, because it wasn't so much of an emphasis on substitutions, was it? Particularly not in the earlier days of subs. So I suppose, if someone gets injured, you put one of the kids in and...
Yeah.
Then it's his place to lose, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know, interesting, actually.
Our first ever league meeting, it's obviously, with them always being in the top flight, we had to wait a long time. It was our first ever league fixture, and we beat them 3-2, which cemented a good start to us at that level. And it was our first league win over one of the, traditional big boys of the game.
Yeah.
I guess it's such an important step in the club's history to get a league win over a club like that.
I mean, that's big, isn't it?
So, and you feel like you belong at that level then, don't you?
This is it. And obviously, it kind of goes against the existential crisis that we're facing this season.
Oh, don't bring that up, Fav.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could be slipping into that the way things are going.
Yeah, depressive. No, I'm fine. I'm still being positive. That's fine.
Do you like a good punch-up?
Good punch-up?
Yeah.
I absolutely love a good punch-up on the provision I'm not directly involved in it.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have been involved in this one. I don't think you would remember this. You were a bit too young, but 4th of November 1989.
Okay.
Now, Arsenal at that point had only conceded one goal at home all season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're into November. And we turned up and scored 3.
Right.
But they won it. It was 4-3. They had a last-minute penalty, and that sparked a 22-man brawl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't recall any of this?
No, I don't. Which is a shame, because I love the big 22-man brawl.
You'll be Googling this, won't you, later?
Absolutely.
So that I think they scored a penalty, like I said, and it was like a last-minute goal. And I don't know what sparked it, but it just escalated. And I think the only player who wasn't involved was the Arsenal keeper.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that I believe there's certainly fines from the FA. I'm not sure if there was any points deduction. I don't think there was on this occasion. But it's certainly, there were certainly FA fines and repercussions.
It was in that area.
Yeah. I think this is football bias, but I think we got fined more than Arsenal. So how do you work that out?
Yeah, and it always seems to be right the way, doesn't it? But you can understand the frustration. So what happened? Was it a dive, was it, for the penalty? Or
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I guess it's a perceived dive. Or either that or unsportsmanlike celebrations.
It could have been anything. It could have been one of these where it'd been bubbling along all game. And nothing particularly happened, but it was something minor just ticked it over.
That specific flash point.
Yeah. I don't think it was one of those cases where, you see a horrendous tackle.
Yeah.
Or there's something really prominent that kicks these things off. I don't think it's anything like that. Yeah, whether there's just a bit of bad blood during the game. But, yeah, you'll be checking that one out, won't you?
Absolutely.
What's the biggest punch up you've seen on the pitch? Is there any spring to mind? It doesn't really happen so much now, does it?
No, you still get them. Obviously, there was. It depends what you mean by an actual punch up.
Handbags.
Yeah, there's a lot of what's described as handbags now, which I'm not sure was politically acceptable phrase. But there is a lot of that kind of.
Can you call it man bags?
Man bags. Yeah, exactly. But there is a lot of that kind of. A lot of players like squaring up to each other. I'll be back, Dave, I'm going to hit him kind of scenario, isn't there? I mean, the last one I remember is obviously against Ipswich, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was more focus on, obviously, the dugouts, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of players involved in it. But again, I don't actually remember many punch-ups.
No. Was it scuffles?
It was a lot of players sort of pushing each other around and lots of other players holding them back and like going, don't let me go, Dave, I'm going to... Oh, punch him in the face. And
you don't like Dave, do you?
No, Dave is the one that holds me back if I ever get angry. It's all a bit, I don't know,
did it
for mind me, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess it worked in that it took the atmosphere up a few notches, did it, when it happened?
Yeah, definitely, and especially when Paul Lambert was sent off. I mean, I think the whole Paul Lambert, he'd been stoking up the fires beforehand, hadn't he? And I think when it actually bubbled over into the pitch.
And moving on to, probably one of the most important games we've ever played against Arsenal. One that you'll remember, I'm sure. One of our finest ever performances came on the opening day of the first ever Premier League season. Arsenal were champions, and we just managed to stay up the year before, so it really was one of these cases where we had very little hope. Yeah, really odds stacked against us. We were in decline. We got Mike Walker in here, no one really knew much about. They went 2-0 up in the first half. And you imagine it today, all those sort of factors in place. It's one of those where we just think, what's the point?
Yeah.
Don't we? But luckily, there was a point to this one. Or there's 3 points. We just had an absolutely dream second half and scored 4 without reply. So Mark Robbins scored 2. Your favourite, Dave Phillips.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah, legend, isn't he? And Rule Fox absolutely stunned the football world. Initially, just any thoughts, recollections on that?
I mean,
You were. You had been quite young still, weren't you?
Yeah, I was young. I do remember. I think Mark Robbins scored a chip, didn't he? I think he dispossessed one of the... I think it might have been Tony Evans, actually.
Yeah.
He sort of,
this was before Arsene Wenger had come in.
This is it. And I think... I can't remember Tony Evans got caught in possession or defended back, some poor defending. But I remember Mark Robbins dispossessing him. And, then chipping in from, 25 yards.
Yeah.
A real signal to the footballing world about... possibilities that
I mean, I don't know if it's too simple to say that one result changed our sort of course of history, but I mean, obviously that was the first game under the Mike Walker era, and we had those 2 seasons that are up there with our best ever. I mean, that certainly would have kick-started things in terms of confidence, and it's hard to say if we'd lost that, we still probably would have gone on to have a good season. But
it's tough though, isn't it? Because like you think back to Leicester, which you talked about a lot on the last podcast, and the run of form they went on before they became champions in that previous season. Any one of those games, if they hadn't won them, would have changed their history. They would have been relegated and it wouldn't have happened. So,
or they would have been some team in the championship, wouldn't they?
So this is it. The history would have changed it. And the thing is with football, and I think we saw it at the weekend against Leicester, apparently it wasn't actually there this weekend, but it is fine margins, which does ultimately decide games. And I think a result like winning 4-2 away at Highbury, a calibre of team that they were at that point, I think that can give you that little extra bit of belief. And then in the next game, you do, you know, those fine moments, they can go your way. And you can believe they're going to go your way. You believe you can affect it. I think it does make a difference.
I mean, it's a real standout result. It's one of those that I think every Norwich fan would have in their top five, wouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's probably our best result of the season, bizarrely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a season we went on to, you know, do such magical things.
Yeah, and because it was the first weekend of the first ever Premier League season, it gave us that little quirk where we were, at the end of the day, we're the Premier League's all-time highest scorers.
Yeah.
I don't know this for sure, but there's a possibility we could have led the first ever Premier League table.
We probably did, didn't we? Yeah.
So a couple of firsts there for the club's history.
Yeah, it's a shame you never went on to capitalise.
Yeah, it's no good being top on the first game of the season, is it?
No.
Moving on, at the end of that season, it seemed a long way from that 4-2, but Arsenal actually did us a massive favour. They had the League Cup in the bag, and if they won the FA Cup, we would clinch that European place. Yeah. Do you remember that equation?
Yeah.
I mean, my first thoughts there are, that's ridiculous in that we finished third that season and we're relying on this permutation just to get into the UEFA Cup, not even the Champions League. And again, I think we've talked about this before in that finishing third these days would get you Champions League football and how you could build on that. But back then, we didn't have that luxury. And do you remember rooting for Arsenal in the final? FA Cup final?
I certainly do remember being aware of it. Yeah, it was, exactly as you said. It was, I do remember, you know, begging Arsenal to win it to get into Europe. I'd have been playing tennis that day, usually, when the FA Cup was on.
Why?
I was a tennisist as well.
Why on FA Cup day?
I just always used to play tennis in the summer and the summer season started then, basically.
Yeah.
That was the only reason why. But it's a shame. It's obviously, love FA Cup weekend.
So you're in the locker room checking out the score.
Well, we had the radio in the little clubhouse, obviously for pre-internet days. So, keeping an eye on it.
Who scored the winner? Can you remember?
No, I can't. Oh, I was just a very pile of it. It was a few years later.
No. Andy Linegan. Who used to play for Norwich.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he was a defender for us back in the 80s. And he scored against Sheffield Wednesday's keeper was Chris Woods.
Yeah.
It's strange. I mean, you do get these scenarios where you support other clubs at the end of the season because their result has a direct implication on what you do and where you finish, don't you?
Yeah. Or even sometimes if you just don't like them. I remember in the League One, the last game of the season being more worried about Leeds not going up than us beating Carlisle. But yeah, you do get those weird quirks in football, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's something that we probably will experience towards the end of this season when we're begging other teams.
Yeah, we're begging Villa to turn Watford over to...
Yeah, or Arsenal. Okay, yeah. Together, yeah.
And then final thoughts. A couple for me. Jack Wilshere, his career's really sort of gone to pot, hasn't it, with injuries? But I think there's that wonder goal, wasn't there, where it was sort of a whirlwind of passes and movements and interplay. I don't know if you remember it, and it ended up him flicking the ball in. I think it featured in the Match of the Day's top 10 all-time Premier League goals.
Yeah, I do remember it. But me and you have talked about this goal before, and it's brilliant. But also, we still maintain there's one touch on there which wasn't intentional.
I think there must be for that many touches to happen, there's going to be one that probably fell into a path.
I think a little back heel flick thing, which I'm not convinced was intentional.
Yeah.
But, you know, fair play, yeah, that was a great goal. And it was, yeah, the under-pursuiting that goal, wasn't it? I remember Michael Bailey describing it as a FIFA goal.
When you're just pressing all the buttons on the controller and hoping that...
It's just those little passes you keep smashing the pass button, and it's something you can't really do in real life. That's the only goal I've ever seen like that. But there's been a few good moments, hasn't there? We've actually had a little bit of success in recent times. I mean, we beat
We talked about that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Grant Holt scored a winner, didn't he, against them at home, and didn't Grabon.
Yeah, Lewis Grabon scored a winner as well, didn't he? And also we drew at their place 2-2, was it 3-3?
3-3, I've got it down here, yeah, Steve Morrison.
Yeah, and I think Anholt scored as well.
Our first trip to the Emirates, and I think we went toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, that's it, I remember that, I was watching it in the pub. I remember Morrison shushing the Norwich fans after he scored that. So he's getting a little bit of slack from the Norwich fans.
Yeah.
I really rate Morrison for what he was, a traditional centre-forward, but he used to get a lot of stick for not working very hard. Which I didn't really buy, because you wouldn't get into a Paul Lambert team if you weren't a worker. Yeah,
exactly.
So I remember him giving a bit back to the fans, which I don't mind.
Yeah, fair play if you scored at the Emirates. You know, you're entitled to do that, aren't you?
Yeah, I also remember we lost them on probably the season, must have been the season we went down under, well, effectively under Hughton maybe. I think we lost 3-0. But if we'd have beaten them by like something like 11 goals, we might have stood a chance of going.
Was it the last game of the season?
Yeah,
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were relegated in every way bar mathematics.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've had a few games against them. We've done well and quite a few not quite so well.
Yeah, and I guess moving on to score predictions, this is a strange one in that you kind of fancy us, don't you, even though it's away. If we can, you know... We say it all the time, don't we? But if we can get on top early or nick a goal or they get another player sent off.
They're not the team they were. It's a game I think we should have a possibility of getting something out of. Having said that, I still think it's a big ask away at Arsenal. And I think they're going to be, if they've got anything about themselves and if they want to play in the Arteta, I think this is a game they're going to be absolutely up for. So, you know what? I'm going to be negative again. Go 2-1 Arsenal.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to actually go positive because I think this has got the feelings of, you know, when we beat Everton away that last Premier League season, and that was the final straw for Marco Silva. I just think the atmosphere is so bad there at the moment. You know, it's only going to take one small thing to happen in our favour, and that place is going to, the outpouring of grief is going to be pretty tough to take on the players, isn't it? The stick they're going to get.
Yeah.
And then you see this with clubs, don't you? You've seen it with Norwich. Once you get into that cycle of, you know, crowd on your back, you can easily lose the game quite significantly.
I think that's a fair point. You know, if we can keep them at arm's length for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, or, you know, even nick a goal. But even beyond that, even a tasty tackle, you know, put ourselves around a bit and keep them at arm's length, the crowd will soon turn. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I'm going to go for us to come away for 2-0.
Really? Oh, I like that. Liking that.
A la Everton that couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
And, so that concludes Arsenal. So thank you very much, Val, for your time.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Excellent. Okay, wait. See you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.